Well, good morning. Welcome to church, every one of you. We trust you are well and are continuing to keep safe and encouraged in the Lord. A special welcome to our young people who will be joining us in the start of church this morning and from February. And a little later in the service, they will go off to kids' church and join us back in church for our last song. For those listening in or visiting us in our service, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, and we welcome you who are listening in. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. So involved in the service today is Fiona. She'll be leading most of our service. Stuart will read the Bible reading to us, and Tina will lead us in our prayer time. And the musos are Adele on the keyboard, Rosemary and Young Lan, our song leaders. This morning, we continue our Bible teaching time through the Gospel of Luke, and we're asking the question that Luke brings up and says, you know, that we may be certain of the things that we have been taught about Jesus from his word. And today, we're looking at Jesus. He is the one who has authority over evil, from Luke chapter 4. Our mission focus for February is on the special religious education, or scripture, as it goes back to school in our two local public schools, and also on the ministry of Anglican school chaplains. And you'll notice at the end of the pews today, a little envelope that looks something like this. And that's to encourage us to pray for scripture, that it goes back to school and teaching this year, and that the gospel can go to our children and to their families and teaching staff in the schools. You might like to give something towards the covering of the material that the children receive by putting a gold coin or something into there and placing that in the offertory envelope as we contribute towards the teaching material with the other churches around about us. Well, let me pray before we teach you a new song today that ties in with our theme for this term. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to hand you over to Rosemary and our music team now, and we're going to teach us this new little song. Please remain seated for as we teach you this one.
This is a new song for everyone. It's called He is Holy. We're sort of going to be using this as a little bit of a theme over the next few sermons that Trevor's preaching. So we're going to learn it today. What we're going to do is music team up here is going to sing through the first verse and the chorus together. And then we're going to go back to the beginning, minus the introduction. We're just going to go straight back into the first verse, which is this one that you're seeing on the screen at the moment. And we're all going to join in and sing the whole lot together. I don't think you'll have too much trouble catching on with it, so just join in and feel free as you feel confident. There is a bridge towards the middle of it, which you wouldn't have heard when we sang the first bit, but that's okay, you'll get that as well. And then we go back into the chorus at the end. So I hope you all enjoy it. Our theme is picking up that God is holy, that Jesus is the Holy One, and that he's worthy of our praise, and that he has been through everything to wash us clean from our sins. So keep that in mind as you're singing it through, and let's see how we go.
Remain seated.
He's mighty to save. His love like an ocean, we sink in its waves. He'll wash in the blood of the crucified one, and shout in salvation in heaven begun. He is holy, strong and mighty, maker of the earth. He is holy. Son of God.
Now we're all going to join in. Let's see how we go.
Look up to Jesus, He's mighty to save. His love like an ocean, we sink in its waves. He'll wash in the blood of the crucified one and shout His salvation in heaven begun. He is holy, strong and mighty, maker of the earth. He is holy, full of glory, worthy of all praise, Lord of all the earth, Jesus, King of kings, the Son of God. Oh, do not dishonor the name of our King, to think that you cannot be free from all sin. He died to redeem you, His promise is sure. He'll wash you and keep you eternally pure. He is holy, strong and mighty, maker of the earth. He is holy, full of glory, worthy of all praise, Lord of all the earth, Jesus, King of kings, the Son of God. And though our sin red inside and out, He'll wash us through and make us clean as white as snow. He is holy, strong and mighty, maker of the earth. He is holy, full of glory, worthy of all praise. He is holy, strong and mighty, maker of the earth. He is holy, full of glory, worthy of all praise, Lord of all the earth, Jesus, King of kings, the Son of God.
We'll sing that a little bit later in our service after our Bible teaching time together. Thanks, musos. Thanks, team. Well, today we pick up on the theme of Jesus being the Son of God, the Holy One. And we continue our gospel teaching through the book of Luke. And I gather the children will be with us and in here with us. But first I'm going to put three pictures up. First I'm going to ask us for you to call out, what's this person's, what is this? Who's this? It's a police person, isn't it? It's a policeman. It's a policeman. And the next picture, that's a king. Yep, that's a king. And the next picture is, what do you reckon? It's the boss. All right? It's the boss. All right? We all know that. It's the boss. All right? Now, I'm thinking of a word that starts with A that all these three have in common. All these three have in common. Who might think what that is? Authority. That's right. They have authority. The police person takes charge of the situation and is in control. That's part of having authority. and the king likewise, or queen, and the boss in the workplace. I wonder who the boss of the church is. Now, this is where I would hope a child might tell us what a boss of the church is. Who do you think the boss of the church is? It's Jesus. Jesus is the boss. And Jesus is the Son of God, the mighty, mighty King, and God made him the boss of everything. And so I've got Colin to help me out today, and this is a theme song of his, and we're going to sing along with it. So I'm going to get you to stand and sing along with us. So here we go. Everyone stand.
Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. God made him the boss of everything, and Jesus is the mighty, mighty King.
Laura
is not the boss.
Elliot
is not the boss. Riley is not the boss. Jesus is the boss, 'cause Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. God made him the
God made him the boss of everything, and Jesus is the mighty, mighty King. All right, now the song will go on and on and on and keep going and reminding us that I'm not the boss, you're not the boss, but Jesus is the boss, because God has made him with all authority and him. Now I'm going to get you just to turn to the people around about you, as the kids would be normally going off now to kids' church, and just say good morning and welcome to the church. It's good to see you all. Just say good morning, welcome. Great. Please take a seat, and I'll hand over to Fiona.
I add my welcome to that of Trevor's and everybody else. It is wonderful to gather together to worship the one who is the boss. And isn't it a relief it's not me or you? The Lord be with you. Until the return of King Jesus, I wonder if you've ever considered what would God hope that believers are doing? Because I believe that what God wants each one of his chosen people to be doing is not that, is to be waiting, well, that as well, but to be waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from lawlessness and impurity, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Waiting for our blessed hope can easily get clouded by things that may concern us or worry us, or health that isn't doing as well. And yet to come back and to have God's focus of waiting for the return of Jesus, may all of us be ready for when he does return. One of Jesus' closest disciples, the Apostle John, reminds us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not a natural thing to do, to confess sins. It doesn't come automatically to me, it might to you, but the Bible actually encourages us to continue not to hide our sins, but to actually recognize them and confess them so that we may be forgiven and that our soul may return to its rest and that we may be right with our Maker. So we're just going to have a moment's quiet reflection before we actually approach the throne of our gracious God. Let us humbly say together, Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us, restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive all who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives and finally come to your eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're now going to hear from the best book in the world, and Stuart is going to come up. You might like to turn in your devices or Bibles to Luke chapter 4.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Stuart.
Let me pray for the hearing of God's word. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Bible reading today, as Fiona mentioned, is from Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through to 37. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed, and they said to each other, What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, please keep your Bibles open there at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. We're picking up the story from Luke's Gospel here, from where we left off last week in our sermon series, that we might know the certainty of the things that we have been taught. Thanks, Stuart, for reading the Bible to us. Sorry I didn't keep up with the clicker here so we could follow along on the screen. Just reminding us of where we're up to, where Jesus is no longer a child, but he has grown up. He's now a man of around the age 30 years of age. He has identified with mankind as one of us by being baptized. The Spirit of God has come upon him to endorse, empower, and equip him for his ministry. And this has been confirmed to Jesus and to those who were listening in by a voice from heaven, by God, Jesus' Father's own voice from heaven, that despite what people might have thought at the time, that Jesus was Joseph's son, Jesus is indeed the Son of God, whom God loves and is well pleased with. Luke adds a genealogy to confirm this to his readers, that Jesus is the Son of God. Full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is then led into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. In three temptations, to doubt his sonship, his authority from God, and the faithfulness of the Father's love, Jesus is tempted by the devil to doubt his sonship, to doubt his authority from God, and to doubt the faithfulness of his Father's love towards him as his son, knowing what was before Jesus, and that is the cross and his resurrection. Jesus, you recall, is tempted in every way right from the very beginning of his ministry, as we are, as a reminder, though we sin, Jesus did not give in to the temptation. He resisted it, and he is without sin. He is the man for the job that is before him, for us. And with verse 14 of chapter 4, we have the beginning of the recording now of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus returned to Galilee, a region that's west of the Jordan River, where he was born and where he grew up, visiting and teaching in their synagogues. Included in the synagogue visitation was his own town of Nazareth. And you remember last week, he was invited to read the scriptures and to preach from them. And we heard him read from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And these are the words that Jesus read out. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. He then sat down to preach. And remember, I moved the chair across here as a reminder that sitting down to preach was the norm in those days, as a symbol and a sign of the authority of the one who was teaching and of the one and of that from which they were being taught from, the scriptures themselves. And there, seated down, he begins by saying of himself and of his ministry, today, this scripture that I've just read out to you from Isaiah, he says, has been fulfilled in your hearing. People will see it, people will hear it, and people will realize it in his ministry, in Jesus's ministry, as he goes about to save a lost mankind. Jesus, as in our song earlier on, is the mighty, mighty King. God has made him the boss of everything. News about him spread through the whole countryside, and everyone praised him, thought well of him. But would that be a characteristic of Jesus' ministry into the future? Not so. For when it's heard that his ministry, the ministry of the Messiah, the promised king, extends to all people, not just to the Jews, praise amongst his own people, the Jews, turns to hatred. And remember reading in verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this, that God the Father has sent his Son into the world to save all mankind. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. And what the devil could not do in the temptations, the people tried to do. And the occasion ends with us being left without a doubt, certain of what we have been taught, that Jesus, despite the reactions of people to Jesus' ministry, to God's work of coming to save lost mankind, Jesus has come with all God's authority to do so. We read there in verse 30, he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And you remember I ended the sermon last week by saying, where was he going on his way? Where was he going? To the cross. To the cross and to his resurrection and ascension. Why? To glorify his Father, to do his Father's will, but for you and for me, that we might be spared the cross and its pain and its agony, a separation from God and all that is good forever, and be saved from that through the work of Jesus. And so today we pick it up from verse 31, and they confirm what we've just read so far. Look there with me, come with me there to verse 31. He went down to Capernaum, and Capernaum being a little bit down in height, not down in the map, but down in terms of going from Nazareth into Capernaum, closer to the town of Galilee. And on the Sabbath again, he taught the people. And they were amazed here in Capernaum at his teaching. Why? Because his words had authority. What did that mean? What did Luke mean by saying, and what did the people mean by saying that his words had authority? Well, he spoke unlike the teachers of God's word at that time. He spoke unlike how I speak. I speak as one who quotes the scriptures, or those who have interpreted the scriptures and commented on the scriptures. And yet Jesus speaks as one who has heard from himself. He speaks as himself speaking, as God's own words being spoken, as the one who doesn't need to quote another, but to say, this is what is said. And you remember there'll be the phrase, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus used often. Truly, truly, I say unto you. Jesus is going, speaking the very words of God. And we read, this amazed the people. The word used, we would say, was astonished. All right, astonished. Well, how can this be? How can this be? This is awesome. It'd be me sort of standing here and saying what Jesus is saying to you as if I was Jesus. You'd be astonished, shocked. How could this be that Trevor's speaking as God to us here? But it also means that those words that Jesus was speaking came with power. They came with proof. And they came with backup. And into the situation on one occasion, though it's not the only time we see such occur, there was a man possessed by a demon. The work of the devil in the life of a person. And we read there in verse 33, in a synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." Now, it would have been a lot more scarier, all right, than that time is there. I've only had one person in a congregation. Please don't do it today, all right? I've only had one person in my teaching ministry of someone getting up similar and like that very early in my days. In James 2, verse 19, we read the stark words of James to the church. You believe that there is one God? That is good. But remember, even the demons believe that and they shudder. The demon, the devil in this man, knew who Jesus is and was and is. That he is the Holy One of God, the Son of God, with all God's authority. And he trembled, and he was scared, and he was crushed in the presence there of Jesus, the Holy One of God. Unfazed, without being taken back, in fulfilling his ministry there. Look with me in verse 35. In order to fulfill with power what Jesus' word would bring, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free, Jesus took charge of the situation. Verse 35. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. The word used is what we would use to say muzzle. Some of you may know my dog Nessie. Some people may not want to see Nessie in a dark alley, cornered. If you walk by our house with a dog, unfortunately, you'll hear Nessie. You'll think that all hell is breaking loose. She is, you know, that's right. Linda is laughing as she walks her little dogs along. She knows what my dog does. And I have to, when I have to take her for a walk, not so much now, I have to muzzle Nessie for fear of her attacking another dog, but getting better and better with her. But the word is muzzle and being stern. Come out of him, Jesus said. And note here, the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. I think it's interesting, and we ought to know the very words he used for throw down, because immediately we think of something being chucked down in front or thrown down, there you go, kind of thing. No, what is happening here is the word used is placing down before. And the man, you'll note there, is mentioned, is without injury. Total submission to the Son of God. No harm comes to the man. Out of chaos comes order. And we shouldn't be surprised. For God created the universe out of chaos with a word and brought cosmos, order. And the one for whom the Father used to bring the world into being is there standing in the midst. The Word had become flesh and was dwelling amongst them. Verse 36 reminds us, all the people were amazed and they said to each other, what words are these? With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Why is this story in Luke's gospel? This is the question we ought to be asking always as we go through Luke's gospel. Remember what Luke wrote at the very beginning? That we might be certain of the things we have been taught about Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth been given to him. Jesus is the one who has done no sin, tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is the one who has all authority, who fulfills the scriptures, who is the promised King, the mighty, mighty King, the boss of all things. Jesus has come. Jesus really came, and Jesus is the one who has authority even over evil spirits, even over evil. He is in control, calmly, and is bringing it into order. Why are we being told these things? Because this Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and save you and me and those of you who are listening in, who are lost in God's sight, by going to the cross and rising from the dead and ascending, and this same one with all authority will come again and take us home, that we might be certain of the things that we've been taught about him, that he has saved us, that we are right with God through the work of Jesus, the person and work of Jesus done on our behalf. We are right with him. We are saved. We are no longer lost. We might feel it at times, but we are found. We are safe in Christ because of Jesus. We're being reminded that the one who has done this for us, we can trust, has the power and the ability, and has done it for us. May God be praised. And as we continue to hear of the power and authority of our Lord Jesus through Luke's gospel, may we continue to be encouraged and strengthened in our faith, being certain more and more of the things we have been taught. Amen.
Let's take a quiet moment to reflect on what God has spoken to you, his words of life, from that sermon today. Those who do recognise Jesus is the King of Kings are lifelong learners. So I'd like to invite you to join with me in saying the first bit of Psalm 119 together. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Please stand as we sing together the song that we learnt at the beginning of the service.
Jesus, he's mighty to save. His love like an ocean, we sink in its waves. He washed in the blood of the crucified one, and shout his salvation in heaven begun. He is holy, strong, Son of God. Oh, do not dishonor the name of our King, to think that you cannot be free from all sin. He died to redeem you, his promise is sure. He'll wash you and keep you eternally pure. He is holy, strong and mighty, maker of the earth. He is holy. the earth, Jesus, King of kings, the Son of God. And though our sin will paint us red inside and out, He'll wash us through, white as snow. For He is holy, strong and mighty, maker of the earth. He is holy, full of glory, worthy of all praise. He is holy, strong and mighty, maker of the earth. He is holy, full of glory, worthy of all praise. Lord of all the earth, Jesus, King of kings, the Son of
indeed worthy of all praise. And let us, with Christians across the ages, join in affirming together: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please prepare yourselves for prayer. One of the beautiful blessings of being a Christian is that we can talk to God anywhere, anytime, about anything. May the Lord be with you. As Jesus taught His disciples, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are Yours, now and forever. Amen.
Praise be to You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory and honour to You. Oh, thank You, Heavenly Father, for all that You've done for us. Thank You, Jesus, for Your great sacrifice, Your obedience unto death. We can never praise nor thank You enough. You are amazing. I don't think there's a word, oh God, that can praise You enough. There's not enough words to praise Jesus. In our humbleness and our simpleness, oh God, for you are above all. You are beyond what we even think in our mere humanity. Your authority and power are over all. And this has all been given to Jesus, looking forward to his return. And sometimes we forget, O God, please forgive us, that there will be a return. There will be an end to the evil one. Thank you that you have the final authority over all. In our mere humbleness, O God, we understand that your ways are good, just and wise. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, again. Once again, thank you. To show us how much we stray and forget that sovereignty and the authority do belong to you and the Heavenly Father. And by your grace, you have given us your Holy Spirit to walk each day with you. You never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you. Thank you. Because of man has turned away from you, it's affected others. It's affected the creation itself. Turning away from God has proved to be disastrous. And that's why we have the hope in Jesus. Without Jesus, there would be nothing. O Lord, we can turn to you in our distress, need, and concerns, for you are God. With all your authority, your supremacy, and your holiness. And you are a good God. We bring before you the groaning of this world, the chaos that we see, O Lord, as we wait for Jesus' return. We see and hear of so much happening, and we cannot do anything. So we turn to you for help. You tell us to pray, to come to you. And that's so we can rely on you and grow in you and be more like you and to understand you more and to realize how frail and little we are. We look at our world leaders and nations, and Lord, we ask you for guidance. Help them to turn to you. Help these leaders and authorities seek the common good of all, to govern with wisdom and justice. And we think of the Queen in this time of 70 years of reign. Lord, it's been a great journey for her, painful, difficult, and I'm sure she struggles within at many times. Lord, we ask you to bless her, to help her to remain firm in you. Guide her, direct her, O Lord. We also look at the pandemic, the tsunami, the conflict, the drought, the persecution, the neglect of others and of the environment, and politics. Oh Lord, there's so much. When we look around, it makes us feel so small, oh God. But you are so great. Especially, Lord, we think of refugees, the people of Afghanistan, Myanmar, Haiti, and Yemen. And lately, Lord, those who've been attacked in the Congo. Have mercy on these people, O God. May the hungry find food. May there be an end to conflict, a peaceful rule for all. May there be mercy to others. May there be rescue from the pain, the sorrow, and the suffering. Turn the people around who are creating pain for others. Turn them to you, O God, so they can stop and understand what life is truly about. We pray for all the world, Lord, that people everywhere will turn their eyes upward. For you came to seek and save the lost, Jesus, that they may believe in you and become children of God and live according to your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We particularly bring the persecuted before you, Lord, for their faith in Jesus. Please give them the strength they need to stand. Grant them steadfast faith, relief, and their needs, and the uplifting of their spirit each day. And we commit this to you in Jesus' name. For your church, O God, throughout the world, may your spirit continue to reveal your truths. Satan's lies be quenched. Your word continue to be preached, and that people believe and grow in Christ. May we be a faithful church, a church who stands firm and stands firm in your word and the gospel, that we seek to help one another, that we may be honourable, true, considerate, so that we may be the light to bring glory and honour to you around the world, so that your honour and glory will shine and people can honour you, O God. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Saviour. Amen. For our country, Australia, we thank you for the blessings in this land and for our governments, federal, state, and our local council. We thank you for particularly our local council, and we ask that Angelo and his group will make wise decisions, that decisions will benefit all under their jurisdiction. We thank you for Scott Morrison. And as we come to an election, Lord, we ask that truth would be revealed rather than people throwing stones at one another, that facts would come and the media would just report facts, not hearsay, nor their opinion, Lord, which seems to be rife in our press. That our state government, Scott and God knows who he is, that he too would stand faithful to you, both Scott and he would remain faithful, stand in your truth and in your word, which is so difficult, Lord, to navigate in the politics of today. We thank you, Lord, that there are men who seek to do good for the good of all. Help these men to spend time with you and keep your truth as their guide. Also, Heavenly Father, God of mercy and grace, our nation also bears the scars of our past. But may we continue to learn and grow despite of this. Help to heal those who are still suffering the pain of the past. Help them to move forward. And I pray that your Spirit will ignite the hearts of people to become Jesus followers. And in his name we pray. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for St. Andrews. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for your commitment to your mission of rescue for us. We thank you, O God, for the opportunity of bringing the gospel and the story of Jesus and the story of your love to children in schools, particularly in New South Wales, where we seem to be fighting the cause alone, as so many others have given up. We do pray that in our state, the work of school chaplains and scripture teachers will continue. And we especially pray for Fiona and Trevor, that their interaction with the children will be positive, loving, and the seeds of your word will take root and grow day by day, so that these children will have the opportunity to grow in Jesus and to know them as their Lord and Saviour. For us here at St. Andrews, we thank you that your word is preached. We thank you for our community where we are placed. Let us be your beacon here, O God. Draw people to you. Build up your church here, O God, please. Help the lost. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all who serve here so faithfully. And we thank you for the leadership of Trevor and Karen. You are our sovereign and you are almighty. May your Spirit continue to work in our lives, keeping our eyes on you and Jesus. We are weak, O God, but you are strong. Life takes its toll on us, but we ask for your uplifting strength, encouragement and comfort. And we think particularly of Kay Woodcock, Lynn and Graham Clark, Jean Steele, Fiona McGregor, Max Schweisser, Jennifer O'Neill and Brian Cove. Help us all to resist the devil. Help us all to keep your word in our hearts, that we may grow day by day in Jesus by the power of your Spirit. And let your Spirit urge us as we move forward each day to be your shining lights, in the precious name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
The set prayer for today, praying for God's protection. Father, watch over us, your family. Keep your whole family safe in your care, for all our hope is in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Keep our nation under your care. Let your way be known on earth. Send out your light and truth. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Fiona. Thank you, Tina. Well, as you came in, you would have received news and notes, and draw your attention just briefly to these. Inside the news and notes, there's always a sermon outline, or well, actually not a sermon outline, but some questions regarding the Bible passage that's been preached on that day for you to either think on individually in your home in a quiet time, or in a small group in your Bible study during the week. If you are wanting to join a Bible study and not already in one, please come and see me, and we'll place you in one, certainly. Up on the screen will come... I'll get Janice to come forward. We have a couple of women's activities that are coming up. Tomorrow night, firstly, just to remind you that tomorrow night is our parish prayer meeting. You can come and join me and others from 7 to 8, or if that's inconvenient that time, please set aside some time in the day tomorrow to think on the work of God in this place and beyond through St. Andrews. Thanks, Janice.
Hi, everyone. We've got two women's events coming up soon. The first is the Mothers Union Seminar. This is a great seminar that's held annually from St. Andrew's Cathedral, and this year it's being live streamed. So we're going to gather here, the women of the church, on Friday the 25th of February from 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. and we invite you to join us. There'll be some great speakers and some great topics. The God We Know, Have I the Right to Be Who I Am? When Dreams Are Broken in the Family. You will need to register online, the Mothers Union website, and Karen is very happy to help you register or register for you if you'd like. There's a sign-up sheet on the back table, so please put your name down there if you're going to attend, and if you'd like Karen to register for you. Our second women's event coming up is a women's morning tea. So please come along and join us for morning tea on Saturday the 5th of March here in the church. We will be supporting a women's charity in Australia called Share the Dignity. They work to make a real difference in the lives of those experiencing homelessness, fleeing domestic violence, or doing it tough. They collect hundreds of thousands of sanitary products each year through collection drives and campaigns, and these products are distributed directly to charities across Australia. So if you are able, we're asking you to bring along some products to donate to the morning tea, whatever you feel you're able to bring. And if you'd like to bring a friend or a neighbour along, they would be most welcome as well. We have a sign-up sheet on the back table for this, so it would be helpful if you could put your name down there for catering purposes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for giving towards the work of this place, and thank you for thinking about that for this year coming ahead. We encourage you to do so online, or if your habit is to do so by the offertory box at the back of the church. But thank you for giving to work and planning that for this year. Our mission focus has been this month on the special religious education, Anglican School Chaplains. And again, I just remind you of the little envelope that's at the end of the pews. If you could take that home with you today and then place a gold coin in it, that'll be able to help us cover the cost of the scripture material that'll go to our children this year in our two local public schools. After church today, if you would like prayer, personal prayer, then Tony and Manette will be able up the front here to pray with you. Well, after church, you're welcome to stay for morning tea and continue the fellowship and discussion together. Please, when you grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea, move straight out into the playground and continue that fellowship, and let us keep our COVID-safe plan together. Well, let's finish with our final song, In His Name.
Prophet saw in ages past, light in the distant dawn, the King is bound in agony, will rise to life again, and in His name a saving word, release from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard, this is God's only plan. This is God's only plan. And all for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praises. Son of God, now in the flesh. He seeks to save the lost, a king who left his majesty behind to set us free, and in his name a saving word, release from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard, this is God's holy plan. This is God's holy plan. All for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises. And all for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises. His Spirit gives us words to speak. Jesus Christ is Lord, and as he breaks the hardest heart, he's worshipped and adored, and in his name a saving word, release from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard, this is God's only plan. This is God's only plan. And all for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises. And all for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises. And all for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises. And all for a thousand tongues to sing, my great Redeemer's praises.
Shall we say the grace together as we leave from here together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And those of you who are listening in too, the Lord be with you. Thank you.